Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good afternoon, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for tuning in again to the Blog Talk Radio program for the Apostolic Voice. I am Bishop Thomas Henry. I promise you, we have another great installment for you today as we examine some issues relating to the apostleship and the bishopric. And hopefully we can drive some of this error into the coffins and bury it, never to be remembered no more. One thing that I am a stickler for, and that is truth. I love truth. For the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And also, it can be translated set free. Elirahu means to make or to set free. And so, this is going to be a great, great, great discussion today. I am already stoked and happy and excited about this. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to really lay it all on the line. And I think you need to join me today for this very insightful discussion. Notice, when we come to you on this particular program, we don't come to you with subjective information. We always come to you with non-biased, objective information. Because we want you to know the truth. We want you to know the truth. We don't have ulterior motives. We want you to know the truth. I promise you, others are charging you thousands of dollars for what we're trying to talk to you about. But we want you to know the truth. And that's why we do this. That's why we come on the blog talk, so that you can know the truth. And once you know the truth, the truth that you know can set you free. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what we want to talk about on today. We want to talk about the subject from apostles to bishops. What really happened? Now, there's a book that is written by Father Francis S. Sullivan, Society of Jesus. In this book, he's a theologian, he's a teacher, writer. Francis Sullivan examines the origin and development of the episcopacy in the early church. One of the issues he concentrates on in particular is the church is a church-dividing character of the question whether bishops are successors of the apostles by divine institution, with the consequence that valid ministry depends on ordination of bishops in the historic apostolic succession. Ecumenical Dialogue, and I'm reading from the Amazon website about what they write about this book, have produced no agreement on this matter. And I promise you, there will be no agreement on this matter. Even Sullivan, in his particular book, does admit that it's not a divine institution. But he said it's a needful institution, on the other hand, because he is Roman Catholic. He has to back the opinion of the church. On the other hand, Catholic, Orthodox, and most Anglican can teach that episcopal ordination in the apostolic succession is necessary for valid orders and ministry, but Protestant insists that there is no evidence in the New Testament for a divine institution of the episcopacy. Now, there is a divine institution of the episcopate, but the problem is that nobody, even some of the Catholic authors, do not look at the episcopacy from an objective point of view. They look at it from a subjective point of view, and they teach it in such a way that it doesn't represent what the Bible says about the bishop or what history actually says about the bishop. And so today we want to examine the topic of his particular book, which is From Apostles to Bishops. And we want to talk about that from an objective point of view. And we will probably delve into a few issues that is mentioned in his particular book as we go on. Probably not today, but as we go on in future broadcasts. The first question we want to look at is this. Did the apostleship cease? Did the apostleship cease? The answer to that is simply no. Did the prophetic cease? The answer again to that is no. And one reason why you can say no emphatically that the prophetic does not cease is because simply is this. God still desires to speak to his people. God has not stopped speaking. Man just isn't listening. The apostolic, did it cease? Is the church everywhere? Is Christianity everywhere? Is there still not, the apostles not only planted new churches, but the apostles also oversaw the general church. Kind of like what we do with some of our bishops today. Some of our bishops are general overseers, general overseer, general superintendent over the whole movement of that particular communion or church or denomination. They are functioning as an apostle in that role. So the apostleship never ceased. And you can't find nowhere in Scripture. I challenge anybody. Go in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, when it lists those teaching governmental gifts. Notice I call them teaching governmental gifts. Teaching governmental gifts. Because the Bible only mentioned two types of gifts. The Bible mentioned teaching governmental gifts, and the bishop is one of those gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, because I'm going to talk about something towards the end of this broadcast, and it's going to really challenge a lot of you. If some of you follow me on Facebook, you'll see I talked about this yesterday on Facebook. And I'm not going to bring it up right now, but I'll bring it up later. See, this is where a lot of our apostles, my brothers and sisters who are apostles, this is where they mess up in their theology, because they try to make the bishopric an office that Paul invented and that God had no hand in it, and that's not what Paul says. Paul says something different. And so you know, when we're trying to combat error, you cannot combat error with error. You only can combat error with truth. So now what does the Bible say about bishops and about apostles and about prophets? Well, the Bible says, and specifically, the Bible says, and I read it to you yesterday, that nowhere in Ephesians chapter 4, I don't care what any of my cessationist brothers said. And I, like I said, before I take it back, I add more to it, because I stick with what the Bible says. Because the Bible said, before one jot or tittle of his word shall fail, heaven and earth will pass away. So with that being the case, Ephesians chapter 4 says these words. And I want you to listen carefully, because when you listen, you'll see it said that these four ministries in Ephesians chapter 4 are given for the perfecting of the saints. That's maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. I can stop right there without reading the rest of it, because there is no unity of the faith. And since there is no unity of the faith, we still need the apostolic, we still need the prophetic, we still need the evangelist, we still need the bishop. We need all four of those ministries. We need all four of those ministries in the church, because there is no unity of the faith. We have not all come into the correct knowledge of the Son of God, because some of us look at Jesus being God. Some of us say Jesus is not a God. Some people say Jesus is the only member of the Godhead. Some of us say there are three members of the Godhead. So then there's no perfect knowledge of the Son of God among all the believers, so there is still a need for apostles and prophets. It said, until we've come into a perfect man. The church is not mature yet. The church is still acting like a baby. We got folks fighting over positions, bishops fighting apostles, apostles fighting bishops. That is what we call immaturity in the body. We got some people that don't even care, don't even give a flip. And they are just as worse as those who are fighting over the position when you don't give a care. Because to you don't care what the church looks like. You say you do, but you don't. Because when you don't give a flip about what's going on in the church, then you are just as much as a part of the problem, and you're definitely not a part of the solution. Until we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. I don't need to read no more because we got too many kids in the church. We have too many kids and immature preachers and leaders in the church. But we claim we got it all. We claim we have reached the pinnacle of where we're supposed to be. Can apostles be bishops? Well then, let's see what the Bible says. Paul calls Timothy and Titus apostles. Timothy and Titus are set in churches to be their bishops. Titus. Paul says in Titus chapter 1, verse 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause I left I you in Crete, that you should have set in order the things that are wanting. Ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, that's being a drunk, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre, not a lover of but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, meaning he got sound mind, just and holy and temperate. So here he says that Titus is sent to Crete to be the bishop of Crete, and as bishop of Crete and its senior apostle in that area, he is appointing bishops in every city. Not only is he the bishop in Crete, but every person, some people will say that this is the first instance of what we call an archbishop, a chief bishop in an area. Paul sends an apostle named Titus into Crete to become his chief apostle in that area to appoint other bishops. So, yes, apostles can be bishops. Apostles can be bishops. Now, before, and not only can apostles be bishops, but apostles are already bishops. I know that sounds confusing. Apostles is like this. Everything that Eve was already in Adam before she was pulled out of Adam. So if God set apostles in the church, and through the apostles, he set every other ministries in the church. Through the apostles, God set every other ministries in the church. They could not have set this in the church if it was not already in them. Okay, I just blew some people's mind just there. So the Bible said God set in the church. But then when you read the rest of Scripture, we see where the apostles came together, Acts 6, to set in place the health ministry, which became the deacons. And so, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 20, he said God set helps in the church. So that literally tells me that when God set Jesus in the church and he set the apostles in the church, the apostles in turn, began, through the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit, set other ministries in the church. And by the fact God said, the Bible said God set all, everything in Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, is an ascension gift. Everything is an ascension, not just what is mentioned in 4 and 11, but everything in Romans 12 and 28 is an ascension gift. That means teaching ministries are an ascension gift. That means support ministries are an ascension gift. We have all the ministries, the support and teaching ministries, both found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Then later on, Paul in one scripture talked specifically about the teaching portion. And then in Romans, that's in Ephesians 4 and 11, the teaching gifts. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, 8, he literally talks about, in that particular passage, the supportive ministries of the church. And so we only see really two divisions. We don't see ascension and governmental. Well, we see everything is ascension, but we see the teaching gifts in Ephesians 4:11. These teaching gifts are the governmental gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, 7, 8 are the supportive gifts, not governmental gifts, but the supportive gifts. Now, one of the gifts in that supportive ministry assists the governmental gifts in governing the church, and that is the elders, the teaching, the ruling elders. Now, before we can answer the question, how did we go from apostles to bishops we must really understand what is a bishop anyways, because this is the issue. This is the crux of the matter. This is where the problem really originates, because it seems as though most of these so-called scholars and so-called learned men and women do not understand what a bishop actually is. Because if they really understood what a bishop actually is, the apostles wouldn't be fighting them, and the bishops wouldn't even be fighting the apostles. If they really understood what a bishop actually is according to the Bible. Now, a year ago, I posted something on Facebook, and one of my Catholic brethren reminded me of something that just stood out to me. And when I saw Facebook remind me of memories from last year, it stood out to me. I said, I need to bring that up. Do you know that not one person in the New Testament is ever called Pastor Henry, Pastor Paul, Pastor this, Pastor that, Pastor this, Pastor that? But today we call people Pastor so-and-so, Pastor this, Pastor that, Pastor this, Pastor that. But did you know that in the Bible, not one person in the New Testament, yes, the word shepherd, which is the word pastor, is mentioned over 40 times in Scripture, but not one time is the word pastor used as a title. But watch this. In the New Testament, you do see the word bishop, which is episkopos in the Greek. And I hate the King James writers did this, because when they did this, they messed a lot of Pentecostal folks up, because a lot of Pentecostal folks think that you got an overseer and you got a bishop, and they're two different things, because most of them are too lazy to read the original Greek. The original Greek is episkopos, which F-E-E-P-I, which means to see, and episkopos, to watch over. So to oversee. You know, the one is to go over, one is mean to see. So literally, when you put them together, you get to oversee, to watch over. And so literally, the word episkopos, which is translated overseer in Acts 20 and 28, is the same word that is translated bishop in Titus, in the book of Titus, 1 and 7, and it's translated as episcopacy in the office of the bishop, episcopate, in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and also in Acts chapter 1, verse 20. And so, but you see more, and you see it mentioned in plural in episcopoi, in Philippians 1 and 1. We call Philemon, Timothy, and Titus the pastoral epistles. Interesting, because we don't see a description of what they tell us. We don't have a description, of what the bishop is. But yet the Bible talks more about the bishop than it talks about the pastor. Why is that? Maybe because the bishop is the pastor, according to Acts 20:28, according to Ephesians 4:11, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28, according to Acts 1:20, according to Titus 1, verse 4 through verse 9, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, maybe the bishop is the pastor, because that's what the bishop was. The bishop, and that's backed up from history. If you were to actually objectively look at your history, you will find out that the bishop pastored the local church. As he pastored the local church, watch this. The bishop was assisted, according to Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. There was two types of elders in the church. The elder that ruled well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in the word and doctrine. So literally, Paul says that there's two elders. There's a teaching elder, what we call the bishop, the pastor. And there's a ruling elder, which we call elder, presbyter, and all that. So there are two elders. There are two types of elders. There's a teaching elder, there's a ruler. In the synagogue, you have the rabbi, who is the preacher, the teacher, and you have the council elders who did not teach or preach, but they assisted in managing the synagogue. You had the administrator or minister of the synagogue who would be comparable to our deacons on today. So what happened? How did we get from apostles to bishops? Simply this. If you notice in the Bible, Paul has a lot of other, and let me, for the sake of discussion, call these other people under Paul junior apostles. I know that word junior is not in Scripture, but for the sake of discussion, can you let me call them junior apostles in this last 10 minutes? Paul mentions other apostles under him. Could it be that somebody failed to appoint somebody to take their place as a successor of them as apostles? And there was a vacuum. There was a vacuum in the apostolic ministry because somebody dropped the ball and did not appoint a new successor. And all of a sudden, now you got all of these pastors and you still got one apostle still left, which is John. We know he lived until almost 100 AD. And we got a few other people that are straggling around that are apostles. And then we do know in history most of those apostles and prophets became soothsayers and what have you around the 300 and 400s. And so now you have a spiritual vacuum and a leadership vacuum. And so somehow or another, we don't have all the history to this, but we do know that somewhere during the vacuum, the metropolitan pops up. And the metropolitan now is the person who is over other bishops. So the bishop in the big city, which is metropolis, big city, began to rule over other bishops. And so now that's coming up to the Council of Nicaea in the 300s, which will be 4th century. And later in the 4th century, the church began to see itself as divided into dioceses. These dioceses now are called the local church. These local churches, which used to consist of a whole city and multiple congregations in that city, are now not only consisting of the city with multiple congregations in it, but now these local churches are consisting of the outlying areas around the city, and they became regional churches now. But they kept the title local church, and the bishop authority is not just over his local church citywide, but over his local church in that city and those smaller areas around his city. And this becomes his new local church and his new diocese. The councils, ecumenical councils, start limiting the number of bishops a local church can have from having multiple bishops that helped him pastor that church and to one bishop per church. And then we have, now since you can't have more bishops, then those elders who were ruling only now are given permission by their bishops and authority to preach, to celebrate the sacraments, and all of this other good stuff that they didn't before, they could not do. All they was first was business managers, the board of directors. And the bishops now are subdividing their large churches into parishes. These parishes are small territories of the local church, and they, and in one place they got a church there that their congregation, their parish congregation meet, called the parish church, led by a parish priest or parish pastor. You hear me? And so what happened is somewhere between 150, because the Didache is written between 70 and 150, because there's still apostles during the time of the Didache. We do know from history there are still apostles still around. There's still people called apostles even up until the 300 and 400s and all of that. We do know that. So what happened is that the bishops start gaining authority. And when all these apostles have died out, around 250, you start hearing of this doctrine of apostolic succession. There's a void now. We don't have any more all the apostles and those people that trained them. So in order to make this doctrine work, you must single out the original 12. You must demote everybody else and say they're just messengers. Even though the word messenger means apostle, they are not on the same level as everybody else. You must demote Barnabas, because Barnabas, even though he's a co-laborer of Paul and made apostle, you must demote Barnabas to being somebody who just had the gift of the apostle. Though he is listed first, and when him and Paul are mentioned, he's always listed first, and he's always called an apostle along with Paul. So you have to literally change what Scripture says. You can't change Acts' word supposed to get married because we still got the original autographs. But you can reinterpret it in light of what's going on. And this is what happened. So you reinterpret it in light of what's going on. And so now you have bishops. You have bishops now who have begun to expand their reach. You have bishops. Instead of the church making new apostles, because they could, it always happened. You find it in Scriptures that God called ministries through his church. He either called you personally and the church confirmed it, or he called you through the church. That's in the Bible. What do you mean he calls you through the church? Look at Acts chapter 13. It didn't say that God spoke to them, Paul and Silas, directly. It's not Paul and Barnabas. It said that the Holy Ghost spoke to all five of those prophets at the same time and said, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work I have called them to. Acts 14 and 14 tell us that the work that they was called to was the apostleship. So basically, in the third and fourth century, starting in 250s, which would be the third century, to the fourth century, which is the 300s, they sent the apostleship into commission in the bishopric, and they began to preach this doctrine, saying that bishops are successor to the apostles. Bishops now have limited jurisdiction. We know this because St. John Chrysostom, who is the bishop of Constantinople, if I'm not mistaken, he says that apostles have general authority, while bishops have local authority. And the only time the bishops have general authority, when they meet in council, in synod together, then their authority is apostolic and general to more than just the few people that they oversee and that they cover. So the apostleship goes into commission in the third and the fourth century. They sent the apostleship into commission to the bishopric. The bishopric had more limited jurisdiction and exercised authority of an apostle over the local church. But as the church grew, instead of instituting the apostleship back as an office, they kept it in commission in the bishopric and expanded the bishopric to be over a province and called them metropolitans, who exercised the authority of a apostle over province. Then as the church grew, they kept the apostleship in commission and expanded the bishopric. Here we have patriarchs who also exercised the authority of an apostle over the whole church. So what happened is that the office of the pastor began to take over the office of the apostle. Because watch this, all ministries is apostolic, because all ministries are sent, and all ministry are birthed from the apostles. So if that be the case, the bishopric is apostolic, contrary to what some of my apostle brothers and sisters said. Like, the evangelist is apostolic, the prophet is apostolic. But the problem is that the pastor usurped the authority of the apostle and took over the church. I'm finished. My name is Bishop Thomas Henry. And today, you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. I invite you to go to our website for the Congress of Apostles and Bishops. Purchase our 2013 and 2014 syllabus. Pre-order our upcoming 2015 syllabus. We got a lot of great information we're going to share with you. concerning all the ministers of the church. This is objective, not subjective information that will bless you and bless your ministry. God bless you. Y'all have a great day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.